Other wars are invisible, roiling in the hearts and minds of people who have been socially or religiously at odds with others in their country or neighboring lands for decades or centuries. These are the main hindrances, these long-term habitual attitudes of hate, often based on fear and perpetuated by all the subtle acts and words, the facial expressions, and little social slights that human beings know to make other human beings feel in awe, rejected, humiliated. Although individual meditations and prayers are always welcomed by the servants of the light in trying to soften ingrained harshness and long-term negative attitudes, whether in small groups or large, whether racial, social, or religious, the meditations of a group of workers is recommended two or more gathered together, and not just one time, but repeatedly. Send light, send love, fill the leaders with love and compassion. Send courage and patience and understanding to the people on both sides of the conflict, we are told. If we are in doubt as to the tightness of such meditations, we are told clearly, it is always all right to pray for the soul of anyone, that it may have strength, courage, and love, and I always add, and wisdom. Such meditations for persons like Hitler may be difficult for us. But during the terrible Battle of the Bulge in World War II, when Hitler's forces were bulging forward into Belgium irresistibly, some Christian groups in the United States began to send love to Hitler as the person, not as a leader of those forces. And it was shortly thereafter that the bulge was stopped. Of course, no one can either prove or disprove any relationship between the meditations in the United States and the sudden change in the progress of the war in Europe. But that should not deter us from offering our meditations and prayers on the side of the light, no matter where and toward whom it is directed. And that means we offer them with love, not anger or hate. In some cases it is easier if we envision the recipient of our love as the young hurt child he used to be, bruised and warped by life. She's a banshee, she gathers together, like an octopus, his arms grasped his chest, and snake-like coils around, while she is laughing hysterically. How can my cousin be released? At present he doesn't want to be. True, but I must go. She is getting into a situation that needs my presence. Goodbye. Lily commented afterward, I felt that the karmic ties had something to do with her grandfather, who had helped A at one time, and in gratitude A made the vow, maybe to help the family. He said he was living out his vow. But he didn't want you to ask more about that. And he left in a great hurry. He was feeling it really urgent to get back to her. At present, several years later, Zed is following a different path and my cousin, no longer so young, seems to be free. A few years after the above session, my coworker Mary, and I decided to see if we could do anything about a prominent military figure whose activities were destabilizing the status of several small countries. My friends and I felt despair at the thought of one more war in this century of conflicts. We had been told to send love to the warring factions. It was easier to say than to do. Mary volunteered to channel any obsessing entities who might be in the military man whose arrogance and aggressiveness were so conspicuous. With Mary in hypnosis, I asked first if it was all right for us to work for the man yesterday. Mary's finger said yes. The yes finger also rose when I asked if it was all right for us to talk to any obsessing entities in S. Then I requested the presence of S's own high self, to supervise the session, and asked that Jesus, the Prophet Muhammad, and other bright beings also be with us. With this protection and strong backup, we began. The first to come when I asked for the strongest entity in S was Sheikh M. He said he found S when S was only 5, and entered him at 12. I used his own instincts to seek vengeance on those who have hurt mine and me for centuries. He thinks we get vengeance only while we live. That is a misconception. We'll go on until all eyes and teeth are restored for all my brothers in the name of Islam, the Holy One. The fire burns just as hot when we pass over. There are many opportunities, he continued, from many who are oppressed, beaten, harmed, as was S. Their hatred opens them to us easily, but only when the body is mature enough to be used, Of course, if the children were not so harmed by those around, by those adults in power, we could not use them. If people would learn to take better care of their children so that they become better adults, the world would improve. Now you think that I'm evil? A dark entity? No, he went on, I am a very highly developed, intelligent, proud man, like my brothers, but we cannot allow the score to be broken. Karma will be fulfilled to us. Mary, the channel, was thinking, as she reported after the session, oh, this may go on all day. And I, the facilitator, was thinking, as strong and stubborn an ego as M will not respect or listen to any infidel not of his religion, or especially to any woman. But he would listen to the prophet, a bright being who was once a human, a man of his own religion. So I said, I ask the prophet to speak. Sheikh M speaks of oppressions and hate, and I know that there have been many such things suffered by his people. Centuries before you, prophet of the Lord, there was a master who said, hatred ceases not by hatred at any time, hatred ceases by love. 171. Another master said, love your enemy. But if there is revenge for all eyes and teeth, will there ever be an end to vengeance? Will the prophet speak to us? With only the briefest pause a voice spoke, we feel much sorrow for this poor soul and all the others. They are just babes. Our love for them is great. Yes, I believe I know Io day is coming when love will overcome hatred. There is always some hatred. The world is a babel. Babes grow into adults with some harms. The harms will grow less as time goes on. Some, like you, Louise, have overcome hatred. As each one overcomes hatred, there is a pull to love. The same for this one, Sheikh M, who is very close to the earth PHNQ. That love will overcome this one. You people on earth need to develop your own love and step in when you see no love, not passively. Love is strong. It expresses itself in many, many ways. The motivation must be love. Search the self constantly for the motivation. Love is the opposite of hate and the negatives of fear and anxiety. Love is more than the absence of negatives like fear and hate. When you have love, you know it where your heart is and there will be peace. Now, he finished, I place my hands on this one's head, shake him's, and pour into him the love he was denied in his lifetime. I see us as a small child so hurt and I pour my love into him. And I ask him in the name of Allah to leave us, and I command him to enter the light, and from now on to do good, and to bring his brothers with him for they do love me. We also, Mary and I, send our love, I murmured. Thank you, prophet of the Lord. Three children, two brothers and their sister, remained in S. The older lad said his name was Fahid, his age about 12. They had chosen to go into S when S was 18. He was fun, exciting, boisterous, adventuresome, strong. It's not so exciting now. But the war is exciting. He has things planned. Fahid said that other entities came and went in S. This is all, right now, he and his siblings. When his anger is very bright, others are attracted. I'll miss M and his people, they are so beautiful, so proud and sure. They knew what they had to do. The children had heard what the prophet said but didn't understand it. I explained in simpler words that children sometimes get harmed by what the elders teach them, and so on. Fahid seemed less than interested. I'd like to go where M went. Soon this will be an empty shell, anyway. You mean that S's body may soon die? I feel that it will. He is willing to die for Allah, I reminded him. He is willing to die for self, corrected the boy. He doesn't allow any force outside of self to dictate to him, not even Allah. M gives strength to what is already there. S has much hatred. The prophet said he was pouring out his love into S. Yes, I see it, it's there, but to change him it's too late. He has set his course and must go the distance. He sighed. Too bad the fun is over. Oh, no, you'll be starting a whole new type of life. This is just the beginning, I assured him. We'll be happy to go, we are very dirty, he ended. I suggested that the children pretend that all the dirt was on the outside of their garment, fear, hate, selfishness, lust for power, the excitement of harming others. When all three of you have done this, signify by Mary's yes finger. After a brief pause, Mary's finger rose. Wonderful. I congratulated them. Now shuck off that filthy garment and stand clean and clear, strong and beautiful. Can we go play in the river? Asked Fahid. With my permission they joyfully rushed off, to return a few moments later. We need something to wear. At my suggestion each one thought of the type of garment and the color desired, and found that they were clothed. Your thoughts are very strong. Whatever you need you can simply think about, and it will be there for you. Now I ask for a guide to come for these children. Fahid, do you see someone? Yes, someone very pleasant. Smiling, this is fun. Exciting. Remember, it was not fair of you to go into S's body, nor for M to go into it, either. S's body belongs only to him, as every person's body does. Do you understand? The children murmured that they did, and we said goodbye. But the channel said afterward that they were rather flippant, not really understanding what I was saying but wanting to go with M, whom they admired. I had invited S's higher self to be present at this session, and I now addressed it. Higher mind of S, I know that you are glad that this obstruction to your work is removed. Do you have a message for S or for us? Continue to pray for him. He has much pain to face. Pray that he will turn his face to Allah. His ego is strong, hate from childhood has filled him and has made so much strength that when he is turned to Allah, how do your scriptures say it? Question mark. The last shall be first. He has a great destiny before him. His spirit, his soul, will learn much, on the earth, none of it is wasted. We must remember, we are all teachers for one another. So just pray for him to put himself in the arms of Allah. You say he has much pain to face, can we mitigate the pain for him? I asked. Oh, the pain is necessary, it is the pain of growth. He will cry many tears for a long, long time but it is necessary, it is good. He hasn't cried tears for so long that the pain will be welcomed. It will be like taking the plug off a geezer, what relief. I asked if there was anything else we could do for S today and the higher mind said, nothing today. You have done well. I thanked him for his presence and his message and for his instructions to us, then asked Mary what else she saw. She sighed deeply. I just see him in the background. He will cave in upon himself from that vacuum. The strength of M filled him up halfway. Now that M is gone, he has no choice but to turn to Allah. The pain is the pain of the vacuum? Yes, if you and I are brave enough, we will not castigate him but will speak of him as another child of God. The bright beings in this case are the Prophet Muhammad and the higher mind of S, the military official. Both are concerned not with the safety of S's body nor with the success of his military schemes, not even with shielding him from the pains of his karma and his growing but only with his spiritual experience and maturation. Our higher minds. Another class of high beings is that of our own human higher selves. The higher self or higher mind of almost all persons, when contacted in hypnosis, is found to be a worthy inhabitant of the higher dimension, the dimension of wisdom, insight, power, beauty, love, and peace. An example has just been given in the previous case. I have called this higher self the higher mind or superconscious mind. Others have called it the spirit, the inner self-helper, the ISH, the divine spark, the inner mind, the self or soul capitalized, or that of God within, as the Quakers say. It is not ordinarily tangible on the conscious level. Most of us have had conscious awareness of the soul only in rare moments of ecstasy, in deep prayer, or in meditation. Yet in each person, no matter how soiled and spoiled the earthly self may appear, there is this center of purity, wisdom, and light. Like all things, it is in the process of evolving, growing, progressing, but it is the shining high reality of each lower self that is, of each person's conscious personality. In meditation or through the state of hypnosis, we can call the higher mind of a person and talk with it, receiving its input, regrading the deep psycho-spiritual state of the lower self and enlisting its cooperation in helping to strengthen, cleanse, and protect the lower self as it struggles in the mud and dust of earth plane experiences. A person's higher self can see down into the present the problems and weaknesses, as well as the unrecognized strengths and beauties of the person, and can also see back into the childhood and infancy of the present life and into the events and relationships of past lives, and even into the future a certain distance. Much wisdom and strength comes from a person's higher self. For this reason it has been called one of the person's spiritual advisors, different from a guardian angel or a guide, but with the person's spiritual welfare equally at heart. I have found a very few exceptional cases of a higher mind that seemed to be not much higher than the client's conscious level. It might have been that the usual techniques of my hypnotic methods did not manage to contact the true, higher self of these few clients. Or it may be that the higher mind or soul was noticeably less evolved than normal in these several persons. The spiritual advisors who came when I asked for them also seemed to be more earthy than truly spiritual. At present I am still uncertain as to the causes in these cases. Past lives of these clients were abnormal, a few bordering on the psychopathic, with little or no moral sense or conscience, as if the soul were spiritually incomplete. Contacting our higher self, Carol, a psychic lady from Washington State, gave a workshop on the extrasensory abilities, and as an experiential exercise at the end of the workshop she told us how to access our own higher minds. Go into meditation first, she told us, and when you have centered yourself, tell yourself that you wish to ascend into the superconscious level and communicate with your higher self. Ask your higher self for a message, and then wait and listen. If you do not receive a message during your period of meditation in the high realm, the message will come to you as you come back toward ordinary awareness or even later. It will come as one or two or three words, not more than one sentence. Carol led us into meditation, invited our higher minds to contact our lower minds on the conscious level, and then directed us to wait and listen in silence. I received nothing at all and really was not surprised, for my own talents do not run to the psychic. But I still waited. On the gentle descent back to normal consciousness, however, I got a clear perception of a few words, Kipaplan, Kipaplan. 177, was that my message? Did my higher self have to tell me to do that? What else had I been doing for the last 50 years and more? Emotionally I really went down for 2 or 3 days afterward. Then I decided at home to try again. Maybe the second attempt would give a clearer, better message. I repeated the meditative preparation, inviting my soul, as Walt Whitman would say. I asked for a message. And again I waited. This time the words came, keep on working. Keep on working. Well, at least that didn't make me feel like an old broken down horse, an old plug that was just plugging along, one foot after another. Sometimes I had felt like that. After a few more days I began to think, childishly, well, they say the third time is the charm. I'll try it once more. So again I ascended to the higher level in hypno-meditation, asked for a message, I wanted a nicer one, and waited. Again nothing until I was ready to return to normal consciousness, and then with a clear tincture of amusement, a chuckle from my higher self, came the words, keep a chuggin', keep a chuggin'. And this time there was an aura of gentle kidding, of kindly teasing that reminded me that the chuggin' didn't have to be heavy and plodding, it could be cheerful and light-hearted. So I accepted that, realizing that I had been given definite instructions to keep on for a good while without thought of retirement until more work had been accomplished. A symbolic message in hypnosis had been given to me in 1980 that I would continue working for 20 years more until I am 88. At that age, in that dreamlike symbolic journey, I would come out on the crest of a long sun-bathed hill among juniper and pinyon trees, with sagebrush and wildflowers. Standing and looking west over a magnificent view of wild canyons and deserts to the far mountains, I would tell myself, I'll stop here. some of there, others will go on, but my life work is done. And there was a feeling of quiet completion and peace. I did not have to accept that progression into the future as a pattern of the next 20 years, but I chose to do so. The future is not fixed, it depends on our decisions and actions in the present. I accept the instruction given me in the first contact with my higher mind and I keep a chug in more or less faithfully, and plan to continue for a few more years. Then I can retire at 88 unless I change my mind first, and leave this plane, or reevaluate then and stay around to work or play still longer. I believe that I have freedom of choice. Another contact with my higher self in meditation resulted in the poem on the next page. Non-human servants of the light, a whole kingdom of invisible beings, sometimes called the angelic kingdom, is composed of those that have been called angels, archangels, cherubim, seraphim, and so on. In the Hindu religion, the angels would be called devas, shining ones. These spiritual beings are genderless, neither male nor female, although for convenience we may say he or she, god or goddess, according to the quality of the attributes each manifests. I like the story of the young Hindu disciple who asked his master how many gods there were. 33,333, replied the old man promptly. Oh, yes, I know, but how many great gods are there? 33, said the master. Yes, the 33. But how many really great? 3. Vows, and spells sworn or invoked in the past. Some may be ancient, from past lives of long ago. These come to have an enduring life of their own, like thought forms, whether positive or negative, although even the positive ones have negative aspects, such as a desire to control, to possess, or to overprotect. Perhaps understandable, even appropriate at one time, such loving or protective vows come to be prisons deep in the subconsciousness as lifetimes pass. 4. Animal-like false protectors, BM winced QVM, snarling, growling, threatening, some, or all. Of these may be thought forms. Such entities present themselves as protectors of the host. I have not encountered animal guides of the shamanic types as invading, obsessing entities. Helpful beings do not invade. 5. In a very few instances I have encountered an animal soul as an obsessing entity, a wolf in one case, a lamb in another, the latter the cause of a terrible fear of wolves in the client. 6. Nature spirits, including those described by various religions, spirits of trees, of rocks, of clouds, and so on. I have not found many of these as yet, but they appear to include the little people described over the centuries by many persons who have astral vision as elves, fairies, gnomes, trolls, etc. 7. Spiritual viruses or concordant elements which seem to be the same as what Baldwin calls group mind or group family influence. Such entities we have encountered several times. A passive infectious agent on the psycho-spiritual level, such an entity can spread throughout a family down the generations, like a curse, or spread outward to other persons, infecting them. These tell us that they can be rendered dormant but not killed. 8. Elementals and legions. Invisible, non-physical beings that are intellectually rather dull, they may or may not have names, not intrinsically evil, still they are usually on the dark side and need to be treated like recalcitrant children, kindly but very firmly. There seems to be some overlap between these entities and minor demonic ones, at least in my attempts to classify. 9. Demonic beings, definitely on the dark side. Some claim to be followers of a more powerful dark force such as Satan. The minor ones may say they have no name. These are relatively weak, although they may try to present at first a bombastic, threatening facade. Strong dark entities, however, are vicious, intelligent, and sly with a profound hatred and contempt for human beings. They may cause the client to convulse or become violent as they try to push the obsessive stage into complete possession. Discussion of these is in the next chapter. 10. Extraterrestrial beings, To date, I have encountered only a moderate number of these entities who claim to have come from some other planetary system, but other therapists have contacted more. Some are entities which nor invading human beings offer counsel and advice to the human race. The ones we have dealt with are the lower types, the invaders, the manipulators, or else the merely curious. The following report of a brief releasement for a young man will serve as an introduction to non-human entities. 189, Cody. This young man, Cody, said he had had a drinking problem and had had rages and irrational behavior starting at the age of 12. His finger movements said there was an entity obsessing him. When called out, the entity, expressing itself through the client, began to snarl and hiss, showing its teeth. It said its name was Gastali, hissing the name through its teeth and making the client's body quiver tensely all over. I placed my hand on the client's chest and said, "Be calm, that's good," as the body gradually relaxed somewhat. Gastali said he had entered the client when Cody was 6 but became more interested in him when the boy was 12. Have you ever been human? No. Are you of the dark side? What do you think? He said sarcastically. I ask the bright beings to place a net of light around you. The warmth is all around you. Can you feel it? Yes. And you can feel my hand as I place it on Cody's arm, and you know that I care about you. Isn't having someone care about you better than your being lonely? Yes, he murmured. I think you don't want to be lonely. No, he said. His bombast gone. He said he had not been created by anyone, that he was not an individual being, and that he was not a spirit of darkness. When told to look deep inside himself into the core of himself he found cold, told to look into the midst of the cold, he lay with eyes open, passive, not answering. 190, I went on. There is warmth in the very core of you. Turn away from the darkness and the cold. Feel the warmth of the bright ones. Open your heart to their light and warmth. Do you feel it? Look into the eyes of the bright beings, see the expression in their eyes. Do you see anger? Do you see hate? No, he said. Do you see kindness, gentleness? Yes. Do you think they would turn you away if you went to them? No. Bright ones, I addressed them. Take this tired being to his own appropriate place where he can rest and change silently, miraculously, into a new being through your energy and light. Gastali, hold out your hand to the shining ones. You have made a decision to turn to the light and to gentleness. Cody, what do you see? There was a pause. When I asked if Gastali and the bright beings had gone, Cody said yes. I think of these non-human entities usually as more or less male, although they are actually genderless, and from old habit I tend to think of them as being more or less humanoid in form, although clients describing them, or the entities describing themselves, often use terms like shapeless, like a gray blob, and so on. I speak of their heart and their hand, and occasionally an entity may correct me, I have no heart, I don't have hands. So I change my wording to in the very core of yourself, reach out, and then I wait until after the client returns to full consciousness and listen to what the client has seen. The entity was like an amoeba and stretched out a prong of itself. I suppose Gastali is to be classified with emotion forms, not created as a thought form, not an individual being, and not a spirit of darkness, a demonic type, but more like a personification of the helpless rage of a child covering that child's deep feeling of coldness, of being unloved. A second entity, a human female, was also found in Cody. After assisting her into the light, I began to count Cody back to normal consciousness. He was humming softly. He thought it was himself singing, but I wondered if it were not also Gastali or poor Betty singing at last. As we see, both human and non-human entities can be present, obsessing the same client. Thought forms, including emotion forms. Thought is extremely strong. Thoughts are things, agree many sources, and repeated thinking can produce reality swiftly in the invisible realms, more gradually and slowly but nonetheless surely on this side of death. The combined thoughts and concepts of many persons over the centuries have created many powerful thought forms which have been represented both visually, in artistic portraits and sculptured images, and in mental, verbal stereotypes.